Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prop G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Kara Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from blue flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds four times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
Hello, Badger fans, and welcome to another edition of Bucky's Fifth Podcast. As always, Tyler Hunt and Matt Bells here covering everything Wisconsin athletics. On today's show, we've got a little bit of news to talk about in the Wisconsin volleyball circuit. They're, of course, the number one seed in the NCAA tournament, so that should be fun to get to watch them. I know there's been some times this year where we haven't been able to, but the NCAA tournament is right around the corner, and they look like they are primed for a deep run. And that hopefully similar to last year and in getting over that final hump in the national championship game that way. After that, we'll talk. We've got a whole host of stuff to talk about in terms of spring football. The spring roster was released, which is always exciting. I know we were kind of waiting on that. There's some news in the quarterback room that I think is significant. There's lots of, you know, weight changes, position changes, some guys not on the roster, which are kind of surprised. So kind of a recap of the first week of spring practices is kind of what we're looking at here today, of course, with the only one episode last week. We got a good amount to get to and kind of recap that first week. So it was a nice week of low time, but also it'd be nice to get back in and discuss some of these things because I think they're significant in the long term of Wisconsin football. Matt, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Yeah, it's awesome to have spring football around, that it's actually happening this year. And it seems like just little snippets here and there that we're finding out through the interviews and just on social media and whatnot, and hopefully there'll be more action here coming forward as well. I know we've been putting a bunch of the photos, kind of rolling them out on the Instagram page, so go check out Bucky's Fifth Quarter on Instagram if you want to go ahead and see some of the practice photos that we have action to.
There you go. It's exciting times for Wisconsin football fans. I know. Sometimes you look at spring practice, you don't know how significant it is, but I think it's especially huge this year, just given everything that's gone on with last year, all the younger guys trying to get ready. You've got some early enrollees. You've got young guys that played a lot last year that are getting some significant reps. So it's a really important time in the world of college football. So that should be fun to dive into for sure. To start things out though, let's touch on volleyball before we get into the football. Of course, Wisconsin volleyball, Big Ten champs, number one seed in the NCAA tournament. So they'll actually have a bye in the first round. I believe, it's a little different this year versus in past years. It's normally 64 teams. They'll have a bye. They'll take on the winner of Weber State and Bowling Green. So, I'm really excited to see what this team can do in the NCAA tournament. Like I said earlier, they've been so fun to watch and they've been so really dominant anytime they've been on the court. Of course, they've had the COVID pauses, which have been not necessarily them. It's been a lot of the opponents, struggling with COVID cases that way. But when Wisconsin volleyball has been playing, they've been as good as advertised. So hopefully they can get into this NCAA tournament and make a deep run. But what did you make of them seeding? Any real surprises there? I mean, they've been really number one, all season long.
Yeah. I mean, they've been dominant. They've only dropped three sets the entire frippin' year. So it's not like there's any questions about how talented this team is. I didn't know if maybe they would get docked just because they've really only played 13 times this year. They got the two forfeits from Northwestern, but really you, even just past weekend, I guess late last week against Michigan, it was more the same. Them just completely owning everything, doing what they need to do. Now the major question is, does their lack of games played, their lack of any adversity all season long hurt them when it comes to tournament time, when you're playing some better teams? I know the Big Ten is really talented, but you look at a lot of their games that were canceled, it were against some of the best teams in the conference. You look at teams like Nebraska, one of their games against Minnesota, Penn State, like those were some of the better teams that they would have been going up against in conference. They didn't have the opportunity to see them. So I think just making sure that they're able to kind of power through adversity, not get too down if another team comes out hot early in a match. But I think overall it should be that fans should be very excited about this group because they're very talented, very deserving, and I don't think it was necessarily a surprise that they were picked to be the number one seed.
Yeah, I would totally agree with you. This is a team that's got a lot of talent. They've played, and I think going off of that, you know, how will they be battle-tested, quote-unquote? I think, thankfully, for this team, they've got some players. Of course, there's some newer faces in the rotation that way, but for the most part, a lot of these players have played a lot of big volleyball games over the past couple years, so I think that's really important as they try and make a deep run here, you know, in the NCAA tournament. I'm looking forward to watching them. I know this winter, spring kind of weird season, you know, was of course different. You had women's hockey that played so well up to the end. You had men's hockey that kind of fell a little bit at the end, of course, losing in the first round. So now you've got, you know, Wisconsin volleyball that can hopefully kind of continue what appeared to be, you know, of course men's hockey ended up losing those last two games and kind of be a struggle, but really for these three teams, they were powerhouses throughout their regular season. So now it's time to see what this team can do in the postseason. And I think they're going to be really strong and hopefully they can make a run. I'd love for them to get back, of course, to that national title game and get over that hump. I know that the Stanford game kind of sticks out as a sore spot for some players, but at the same time, they got to that game and that spot and hopefully they can get back there and bring it home this time because this team's unbelievably talented. Now it's just time to see what they can do in this weird, little bit different NCAA tournament.
Yeah, for sure. Wisconsin's got a lot of experience right behind them in this tournament, and I think that should help them a lot because you looked at a big reason why they lost to Stanford last year was Stanford had so much experience, had obviously a super phenomenal player in her own right, but really I think this team is poised to make a deep run, and hopefully they can pave their way all the way through the national title, which would be super exciting and something that I think most Badger fans would be ecstatic about.
Yeah, looking forward to watching that for sure. So for those of you that don't know, the Badgers will take on the winner, like I said, of Bowling Green Weber State on 4:15 at 6 p.m. Central Time. So it should be a fun tournament to watch as the Wisconsin volleyball season gets into tournament play that way. All right, let's get into the bulk of the episode now. Spring football, of course, we got underway this past week. Really some big things kind of happened. I think the main start of it was, of course, the spring roster getting released. Few names that weren't on there. Maybe we can start there. Taj Mustafa, Boyce Deason, Aaron Vopel, no longer on the roster. Those guys are not in the transfer portal, so we're wishing them the best of luck, whatever plans they have moving forward. But what did you make of those three not being on there? Because I think aside from, you always look for the same names when someone's missing, that's kind of the first thing, you know, that I kind of notice when you go through that roster is who's just no longer there.
Yeah, and I mean, Aaron Vopel is a guy who's never really been able to crack a spot in the rotation, whether it was on the defensive line where he started, offensive line. It seemed like it just kind of never gelled. He came in with as part of a really big offensive line class, and he kind of got buried with some of the other names. But then Boyd Dietzen was a guy who you saw him in the two deep. You saw him earn playing time fairly early in his career, and then just never materialized. Taj Mustafa, a guy, perfect one-for-one touchdown record and in his one reception from Danny Vandenboom. But really, you look at him, he was a kid that redshirted his freshman year after playing in the first couple games, but then we never heard from him, and it appeared as though consistency issues were the biggest thing for him. And really, these three guys are going to be missed because they're part of the Badge family, but really all three of them weren't really looking to potentially make an impact this year. So I think it's almost in the best of both worlds where hopefully these guys can find a different home maybe. I know they're not in the portal yet, but maybe you looking at after they finish up this spring that they're looking in the summer, or if they just kind of pursue whatever careers beyond that. But the Badgers get three extra scholarships that I'm sure they used for this really big class that just came in, including the seven early enrollees.
Yeah, it was certainly significant. You talk about a guy like, you know, you mentioned Boyd Dietzen and Taj Mustafa, guys that have played a little bit but just never really panned out getting a little bit of action here and there. Maybe they expected more coming in, just never really got to playing at that level. And you look at the positions that they're at, there's a lot of talented athletes in there already. So it's kind of a mixture of everything going on for those guys where maybe the playing time just wasn't there. It wasn't panning out the way they wanted to. Got kind of bypassed by some younger guys on that roster. And then just I think sometimes you have to look at the writing on the wall. If you're a player at that level, you know just whether you've got it, you don't got it. Are you going to be out there? Is there a path for you to get there? And if not, what do you want to do with your time? Do you want to just put all that effort into maybe not play very much or not? So I can totally understand whatever the situation is for both of those guys. But, the opening up the roster, it certainly makes sense. You've got some more spots. You mentioned the big class. So it all kind of works out, but, it's always unfortunate when you see when somebody possibly hangs it up. Of course, we don't know the full situation there, but it's definitely significant.
Yeah, and it's further that 2018 recruiting class has now lost quite a few guys. When you look at it, you see Nakia Watson's gone, Cruikshank's gone, Beetson's gone, you've got Reggie Pearson gone, you've got Taj Mustafa gone, you're looking at Mason Platter was barely on campus ever. So there's some remnants. I should say Rashad Wild Goose is off to the NFL. So that class was kind of a mixed bag like many of them are. But that group right now is kind of in a make or break territory overall. If you haven't made an impact, they're getting kind of at that point where some of the younger guys are going to be passing you up if you don't. So it makes sense for all three of these guys. Like you said, the writing was on the wall, I feel. At this juncture, if they weren't already seeing playing time.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of the big, we've talked about it a couple times and you kind of mentioned it time and time again. With these stronger recruiting classes, some of these guys are ready to go, when they step on campus. So it doesn't matter really the age. Wisconsin's at a level right now in terms of recruiting. It doesn't matter the year that you're at. If you're ready to play, you're going to be out on the field, especially when you look at, a guy, especially on the defensive side, it seems like Jim Leonard, if a guy's ready to go, he's going to be out there. And if he's someone that Jim Leonard trusts, he's going to be out there and playing. So it makes the competition that much better. But sometimes you get these situations where some of these guys just kind of, it doesn't pan out and maybe you see the writing on the wall and move on to another venture. So all three of them, you definitely wish them the best of luck in whatever they get into in the next step of their lives and in their career that way. Moving on down here in terms of the spring roster, I think after you look at who's missing, I think the next thing I always look at is the weight changes. Of course, guys putting on some weight. If anyone's losing some weight, there was definitely some significant ones. Jalen Franklin at tight end, I believe, put on 15. You had a bunch of offensive linemen, Ben Barton, Cormac Sampson putting on weight. A couple of the heavier guys, Caden Lyles, losing some weight. So what really stood out to you in terms of weight changes on the roster?
Well, outside of the Badgers probably having the heaviest quarterback in the entire Big Ten at 250-some-odd pounds in Daniel Wright. But I think really you look at some of the younger guys who came on campus, didn't get the full assortment of an offseason the last two seasons. A guy like Titus Toler, adding 8 pounds is big. Aaron Witt, up another 8 pounds. That's huge for them. But then you see a guy like Caden Johnson, who's pretty light at 227 up to 240, giving him a better chance at playing. You mentioned Franklin, even a guy like Isaac Arendo, who's dealt with injury issues throughout his career. Maybe some added weight. He added 9 pounds can help him out to stay on the field. The other thing is the Chenal boys are just continuing to get bigger. They're both at like 255, 257 in that range. So, man, I can't imagine when they go home and have to eat. That is gotta be crazy. But they are phenomenally strong, and you just have to hope that that maybe Leo doesn't necessarily slow down a little bit here, because at that inside linebacker spot, we talked about that he was kind of a step behind sometimes at getting to the quarterback when he was so close. Hopefully that doesn't slow him down further. But overall, I think you mentioned the offensive line. A lot of the young guys went up in weight. A lot of the older guys kind of either plateaued or went down, which I think is good. You don't necessarily need Caden Lyles being 330, 340 some odd pounds. And that's part of the reason that he dealt with some injuries. So lots of movement, but I do think that overall it looks pretty good.
Yeah, I think a lot of the changes are beneficial for a lot of these guys. You know, you talk about the wear and tear of a full Big Ten season. It's a lot to, I'd have to imagine, a lot to put on your body. So you want to be at that right weight. It makes a big difference, especially at some of those physical positions. You're talking, you know, the linebacker position, tight end. I mean, football's a physical game in general, but the offensive line, those guys get bigger and beefier, but also some of them kind of drop it down. It seems like Wisconsin, you know, I know Owen mentioned this in his kind of recap and write-up, is trying to focus their offensive line kind of in that sweet spot of big but also athletic. I mean, of course, even the guys of the past that were 370, 380 guys that were out there were still athletic, but you're trying to find that perfect sweet spot of big enough but also athletic enough. I think you saw that a lot with the offensive line, either gaining weight to get to that, you know, 300 to 325 to 330 range, or dropping weight so you're lean enough to be able to move quickly. I mean, the athletes on the defensive side of the ball for some of these teams are insane, so you've got to be able to keep in front of them, keep up with them. So I think that was one thing that really stood out for me in terms of the weight changes, was them kind of continuing to see that trend of getting in that range. And then the linebackers, you know, you mentioned Chenal, both of them getting bigger is significant. So I think a lot of the weight changes, you looked at it and you said you were happy with, I think, where everybody's at. There was no one, I think, that I looked and I don't think anyone looked and saw a big concern in terms of weight gain or loss that way. I think everything was pretty much beneficial to what it seems like Wisconsin football as a program wants to get to.
For sure. And I think two specific guys that I think if we wanted to focus in on are Cormac Sampson and Bryson Williams. Their weight shifts are pretty noteworthy. Sampson obviously played as a reserve offensive lineman, played tight end 2 years ago, but really made the switch to interior offensive lineman. And he's now up over 300 pounds, which I think gives him a much better shot of earning potentially even a starting role inside, because he is a really athletic kid and could help them out, whether it be at center or a guard position. And then Bryson Williams dropping a bunch of weight down to about that 280 level, I think is probably insight into the fact that he's not going to be necessarily playing a traditional nose like Keanu Benton will be. We know how big and physical Benton is. Bryson Williams maybe gives them a little bit of versatility to pop along the offensive line a little bit more. Now that he has experience, they're a little lighter in terms of bodies along the defensive line with two of their longtime starters gone. So maybe Bryson Williams is a kid who's going to have more playing time this year, assuming he stays healthy. And I feel like he was talking about it even today in the interviews, that he feels better. He feels like he's quicker. He feels like he's going to be able to make an impact this year, which I think would definitely help the Badgers in depth along the defensive line.
Yeah, I think that, you know, the depth of that position is going to be important. I mean, you look at even, you know, going off of that, Matt Henningsen is going to be back for the spring. He put on some weight as well, so that's important. But on the flip side, you've got James Thompson, who's not going to be available for the spring. So the more that they've got some of these guys out there and able to go and feeling good, I think is important for the defensive end, defensive line position. Of course, you're going to have Keanu Benton out there a bulk of the time, but if you had some flexibility with a guy like Bryson Williams that he can kind of pop around, I think that gives you a little bit more on that defensive line in terms of flexibility, what you want to do depending on, you know, the down distance situation like that. So, you know, Bryson Williams, you know, coming in when he started at Wisconsin, was supposed to be this big, you know, really strong player, and I think we've seen glimpses of it. So if he can be out there and be really healthy to give Wisconsin that kind of flex defensive lineman is going to be huge. Yeah, because he's got all the talent. It's just been a little bit of a battle for him trying to get on the field and stay on the field. So, a guy like him, you know, in terms of flexibility that way, I think will be huge. So that defensive line position, we talked about a little bit how significant that room will be with the departures of Loudermilk and Rand. You know, seeing some of these guys kind of step up and talk about how they're feeling is certainly, an important thing to note in the spring practice and in what we've had so far.
Yeah, no doubt. Another thing that's always topical at this time is early enrollees. Wisconsin brought in 7. You could really say they have 6, and then Duncan McKinley, who is a kind of a gray shirt guy who joined the team later than when he was traditionally going to be coming out of high school. But any of those guys, their sizes, whether it be height, weight, really jump out to you?
I mean, I think it's important to kind of note all of those guys when they're coming in, you know, where they're at. And it's always fun to see, you know, I know Owen called it the fresh meat that way and where they're at, in terms of just kind of getting the first glimpse of them. I mean, we've talked about it before. You mentioned Caden Johnson up 13 pounds. I think that was the one, that kind of stuck out to me in terms of, he's not, of course, an early enrollee, but then you go off of that TJ Bowlers. 258, kind of in that nice spot in terms of size at that outside linebacker position. Jack Pugh, 6'5", 229. It seems like the guys that they're getting at that tight end room are just huge dudes. Keep getting them, but at 6'5", 230, you're really seeing some significant size that way. So a lot of these guys are, I think, at where you want to be, and I don't know if you can necessarily say right now in terms of where they're at based on size, in terms of what they're going to be earlier in their career, if they're going to jump onto the field. I mean, maybe a guy like TJ Bowlers, if he was just coming in, lets his hair on fire, could make an impact right away. But for the most part, it's just nice to see kind of the baseline of this group and where they'll be at as they move forward and kind of develop into what Wisconsin football tries to get them to, in terms of size and weight and athleticism.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Jack Pugh is definitely going to redshirt at 230. He's probably not going to be playing a whole bunch of tight end, which makes sense because most tight ends don't play right away as is. But I thought the size, Mike Jarvis coming in at 6'4", 272 is really good. I think he's a kid we had on the podcast and he was talking about how he was trying to get bigger. But that he really relies on his quickness. So if he can keep that quickness at 272, continue to add weight, he's a guy who I think could really make an impact, not necessarily this year, but down the line. And then I thought the thing that jumped out to me outside of TJ Bowlers, like you already mentioned, was Al Ashford. It's nice to see cornerbacks at the full-on 6 foot. A lot of times you see that they're listed at 6 foot and then the media guide hits and they're 5'10", and that's a pretty huge difference when it comes to being a cornerback. And he's a kid who was kind of an obscure ad because he kind of came out of nowhere, but at 6'8", 180 pounds, he's got good size that hopefully gives him a shot to make a big impact later on as well.
Yeah, and the other one kind of going off that as well is Riley Malman, 6'8", 289. It's going to be interesting to see where he gets to. I think if you look at from where he's at right now into the next spring football season, I think will be significant to watch because, of course, he's got that big frame. You're trying to maybe put some weight on. We talked about the offensive line already. So it's nice to just kind of see where these early enrollees are at, kind of get the first glimpse of these young guys. It's so exciting. Like I said, you follow them for years in terms of recruiting, and then you, of course, they make that commitment. You kind of get to know a lot of these names. So to finally get your first crack at seeing them, you know, on the roster and out there in Wisconsin football pads and helmet is always an exciting time. So I'm looking forward to seeing what this young group can do in terms of the enrollees. In terms of position changes, there really wasn't a whole lot. I believe at least the one that I noted was Preston Zachman going from inside linebacker to safety. Anything there? I mean, guess not really surprised you given Reggie Pearson, the departure of him, need a little bit more depth at that safety position. What did you make of that and that sort of change?
I like it. He was a kid out of high school that was a kind, it wasn't a late ad, but he was a kid who just came in, with an ability to play multiple positions, and they weren't totally sure where they were going to play him, whether it was outside, inside, safety. But at 6'2", a little over 200 pounds, I think him moving to that strong safety role would make a ton of sense. And I think you look at the glut of inside linebackers that they had, and they even brought in more late last year in the recruiting cycle. So I think it makes a ton of sense to push him back to safety, given his athleticism, what he can do. I think he's a type of kid that ends up being a multi-year starter at safety to help this team out. I don't know if that's necessarily the case these upcoming years, just because you also have a kid like Hunter Waller coming in. But I do think you think of how Wisconsin has traditionally done with some of their safeties and some of the progressions that guys have gone through, and he fits that mold as somebody who just a really good athlete that can play multiple positions, winds up at safety. And I think it's a good move, especially for roster dynamics and trying to keep everything level and giving him the best chance to play.
Yeah, I think it makes sense. You're going to look for some depth in that safety room. Like I said, you've got the Pearson departure, got Waller coming in. Braylon Allen almost looks like he could be sliding into that linebacker spot. I mean, if you've seen some of his highlight tapes coming out these last couple weeks, he's just absolutely, you know, decking people and laying poor high school kids out. So he could be maybe, you know, if you were looking at the crystal ball of the safety position and you thought maybe Braylon Allen's going to be back there, maybe that changes, which kind of also, you know, makes a move for Preston Zachman to move as well. So all these dynamics kind of go into play as you look at where you have the best fit to get your guys on the field. I mean, if Preston Zachman's, you mentioned, he's a very good athlete, can play multiple positions. If you can get him on the field at a different spot, you know, you're great. So I think it all kind of goes into there, but I think it's a wise move. You need some depth at that safety position. You've got some young guys coming in, but a guy like him that has played or, of course, been in the system now, not played on the field, but is going to be important to have in the rotation that way to learn under Jim Leonard and kind of get a grasp of the defense as a whole.
Yeah, I think he's the type of kid that I think could really benefit from that shift. And Wisconsin didn't make a lot of shifts this offseason just because a lot of these guys, this is their first camp. The number of players who haven't gone through a camp before is pretty staggering, but I think it's really going to be an important time this spring.
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, you don't want to move guys before they get kind of their first chance that way. So talked about early enrollees. We talked about the weight changes, position changes. I think that's pretty much everything in terms of the roster. I think the next thing to kind of get into was, of course, the quarterbacks discussion. They spoke to the media. The big news was really that Graham Mertz was dealing with a shoulder injury much of last season, receiving cortisone shot during the week. I think when you look at, you know, now knowing that and kind of looking back, and I know Graham Mertz he said himself, you know, that's not an excuse for losing games. I get all that. And I'm not going to sit here and be a Graham Mertz apologist. I know. I'm a big fan of the kid, and I think he'll be really good at Wisconsin, but I think that makes a huge impact in terms of a quarterback having a shoulder injury. So I know he wants to kind of shrug it off and say it wasn't as big deal, didn't impact him in the losses that much, but I think that's probably, you know, him just being generous to where he's at. So what did you make of that announcement and that kind of trickling out in terms of the way last season kind of went?
It makes a ton of sense. In terms of what we saw from game one to really the rest of the season. But, like you mentioned, we don't want to be an apologist, but at the same time, when you add this on that he's taking cortisone shots midweek, leading into pretty much most of the games all season long after that Illinois game, you look at the number of injuries and players who were unavailable around him and the weaponry that he had, to use, and the fact that because of that, he threw it 41 times against one of the best defenses in the country, against Northwestern, 34 times against Indiana, one of the best defenses in the country, and against Iowa, one of the best defenses in the country. He threw it 38 times, and he wasn't exactly set up for success and was dealing with that. So I think you look at it, and he needs to play better. This is a big offseason for him to really make sure that he's got everything down. and that he can manage the offense and run it, because Wisconsin's probably going to have to pass it more than they normally do. I don't know if they necessarily want to throw it 41 times into the teeth of a Northwestern defense, but at the same time, he's talented and he needs to play better, and hopefully that means he's healthy, because it was not great at times last year, but at the same time he was dealing with it seems like a lot at this point.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head there. There was a lot of outside factors. I know he thinks he can play better, and he certainly can, but there was a lot that kind of went into everything that was going on. I mean, you talk about the injuries to himself, the receiving core, the offense that kind of seemed to be a little bit in shambles at times. You know, you're running over to the sideline to get the play. Just everything kind of just seemed to be a perfect storm in terms of a mess, but no one wants to lose football games, but if there's a year to kind of do that and have that, it was last year. It was a weird year already with COVID. So hopefully things will, again, get back to normal for the quarterback room, for Graham Mertz, for the offense that way. And, you know, they'll come out clicking. I know injuries happen and that's part of the game, but I think that's a significant step when you're trying to develop as a quarterback and you've also got to deal with, you know, an injury that way. That can't be easy. So I'm hoping that he comes out and is healthy because, yeah, like you mentioned, this team's probably going to throw it a little bit more. You talk about the running backs on the roster. They don't have a ton of depth there. You've got a strong quarterback that you feel confident in. You've got a good receiving core. So I think that could certainly be in play as the Badgers move into this year. But hopefully to start, you know, that's still a little bit a ways away. But hopefully he's just kind of getting back to being healthy. I know he mentioned also that the game is slowing down. So I think that's important for his growth and maturity, but yeah, definitely significant news in the Graham Mertz department.
Yeah, it's definitely major news. Jumping from today in terms of meeting with the coaches, it was the defensive line, and the talk was Rodus Johnson. So that's exciting. A young defensive end, 6'2", 280 on the most recent roster out of Ohio. And he was a kid who came in with a lot of pomp and circumstance, pretty highly rated recruit who was sought after by multiple really good schools, and the Badgers landed him. He hasn't really done a lot so far on campus, but the idea that he's making noise right now and could really give them a boost in terms of the depth there is, I think, highly notable, and hopefully he can get into the rotation and help them out this year.
Yeah, that would be a huge get. I mean, you look at him in terms of his recruitment. He was a 4-star recruit by ESPN and Rivals, so 3-star at 247, but a guy that, you know, coming out of the state of Ohio, significant player that you seem to make an impact. Of course, you hadn't really seen it from him quite yet, but at a position we've already kind of talked about on defensive line where they're, I don't want to say they're thin, because I think they've got plenty of able bodies there that are good, but if you can get a guy like Rodus Johnson that is elevating his game and giving you even more and being really a productive player in the rotation, I think that's huge, because there's a lot of talented guys on that defensive line, and you of course got your anchor and probably your best player across the line in Keanu Benton, but if you've got a couple other guys that can really give that line a spark, I think that could be really significant to how this position moves forwards. Of course, you got a new position coach, so getting that room to click and kind of fire it on all cylinders would be really important, and Rodus Johnson would be a nice added layer of depth as they move forward.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought up that new position coach, because obviously Ross Kalaji, really, really prominent guy at Wisconsin. He played in the NFL. He was a tremendous player at Wisconsin and knows the defensive line well. But this is an opportunity not only on the defensive line, but at cornerback, at running back, that some of these guys are getting a fresh start. And so Rodus Johnson, he might not have been doing necessarily the things that Inoki Brechterfield was wanting, but boom, he's got a newfound feel for the position and is really learning under Kalaji well. So I think that's something to watch for those three position groups in particular, and the quarterbacks, because you're going to have Paul Christ kind of taking a keen eye to it. But I think that's something to really see, is those three positions, can they do that? And if a guy like Rodus Johnson can help round out their depth chart, I think it would go a long way in making sure that Wisconsin can be the multiple defense they want, whether they want to go 2-down linemen, 3-down linemen. I know they use the 2-4-5 quite a bit, but they also will go into the normal 3-4. So I think it's important to have as much depth as you can, and Rodas Johnson is, it seems like the talk of spring so far. It's very early though.
Yeah, and that's kind of the significant part, is that you move into now, you know, this next week that way, and hopefully you can continue to see some of these guys continue to emerge, and you kind of get a feel for where some of these guys are at, and then if they make an impact and kind of get noticed in this spring ball, you might see guys that'll eventually hop into, you know, a rotation as you get closer to fall and into that part of the season. So this is all, again, I think it comes back to spring football just being so important for the development of so many players that way. I think the last thing that we didn't touch on, Paul Chris spoke to the media before everything got started on Tuesday. Really, I mean, not a lot that you could take from what he said. Most of it was the bingo card of Paul Chris. Thankful for the opportunity, happy with where guys are at. All the cliches that he normally gets to. But did you take anything away from anything that he mentioned on Monday before the start on Tuesday?
The only thing that really jumped out to me was him talking about that Travis Frederick, one of the top linemen in the entire NFL, was a big reason why Wisconsin got connected with Gary Brown, which I think was kind of a cool thing. And then the other thing was just that you're not going to have Dean Ingram, James Thompson Jr., as much, Stephen Bracy, or Stephon Bracy, not as much. So I think those were the kind of the big things to take from him. And then Jim Leonard also spoke with the media and talked about wanting to have more left on the bone, I guess you could say, at Wisconsin is a big reason why he didn't end up going to Green Bay.
Yeah, I think that was all significant. You mentioned the Travis Frederick stuff. That was, like you said, kind of a cool thing to see how that worked out. And who knows, it could really blossom into a really good opportunity for Wisconsin. You know, he mentioned that he was really excited and that the fact that, you know, Gary Brown was available was fortunate for them. And hopefully that works out in the running back room. Of course, you've got some younger guys in there looking to learn. And to get a blessing from a guy and former Wisconsin great like Travis Frederick, I'm sure went a long ways in the eyes of Paul Chris that way. So that was exciting to see as well. But overall, you know, that kind of rounds out everything that we touched on in terms of spring football in this first week. Anything else you want to hit on before we wrap up the football talk?
No, I think that pretty much does it with football. I know we've got one mailbag question about basketball we wanted to touch on, but I think football-wise, that's pretty good. I know later on this week we're going to talk about kind of some make-or-break guys that are in that precipice of this is getting to a point where you got to have a big spring or put together a really nice offseason so you put in some playing time next year. Or you might have a future that looks similar to a couple of other guys who – we noticed weren't on the roster this year. And so hopefully a lot of those guys step up and can make a big impact this year.
Yeah, that should be a fun episode later in the week to kind of work on that. You're talking about spring football and how big of an impact it has. You know, that can be a make or break situation for a lot of these guys to kind of get started. You can make some serious inroads for yourself if you jump up and have a strong spring. But if you don't, you know, it's times where you can, you know, you've seen it a little bit already. Some guys not on the roster that have kind of been bypassed by younger guys. So that's an interesting exercise that we'll get into later this week. But yeah, you had a mailbag question in terms of the state of Ohio and Wisconsin basketball recruiting. Do you want to kind of get into what, you know, what the mailbag question was and what was kind of noticed with that?
Yeah, so got a question. Basically looking at next year's roster and noticed that, hey, with Demetric Trice, who is originally from Ohio, the Badgers don't technically have anybody on the roster coming back that's from the state of Ohio. And how a lot of that might stem from Lamont Paris, who was at Wisconsin, going ahead and becoming a head coach elsewhere. But Wisconsin had done a lot of damage in the state of Ohio as of recently and kind of was wondering kind of what's going on there and why that might not, that relationship with the state might not be as strong as it used to be. And I think a big reason is that, hey, Lamont Paris, he did most of the work in Ohio. But you look at it really, since 2010, which just to go back to kind of recent time here, the Badgers brought in six players, but one of them is still coming next year because Marcus Dilver is going to be on the Badgers, and he's technically went to school in Ohio. But you look at it in Trayvon Jackson 2011, Nigel Hayes 2013, Vito Brown 2013 as well, and then Iverson 2015, and then Trice in 2016. And that's a big chunk of your roster. That's a lot of contributors that were helping them out. But I think the biggest reason for why Wisconsin isn't necessarily bringing in as many Ohio is because you look at the past few classes and it's Joe Krabbenhoff, man. It is all him doing most of the recruiting. You'll see Howard Moore. A lot of the recruits are also Howard Moore guys. Even as recently as 2 years ago class and some of this incoming guys that Howard Moore had a hand in it. Dean Oliver, most of the only guys that he's brought in were from Michigan and they're no longer on the program. And then Lorne Bowman, who is going to be on the program next year. So I think you're looking at it as Wisconsin's, the configuration of their coaching staff since Paris left for Chattanooga and Gary Close left, who was the shot doctor for so many years, I think is just a complete change of the complexion of the coaching staff is one reason. And that Krabbenhoff does the major lifting for the most part with Greg Gard, and both of them have ties to west of Wisconsin in Minnesota, the Dakotas. You've seen even Krabbenhoff going down to Nebraska and getting Chucky Hepburn. So I think that's one of the biggest things. And there just isn't necessarily a need to pull on some of the to be perfectly honest, most of those guys that I mentioned from Ohio didn't have crazy other offers to contend with. And Wisconsin was just one of the best offers that they had and won out, outside of Nigel Hayes, who I think also had Butler and Ohio State in there. But you look at it, and most of Wisconsin's doing now is they're bringing in four-star guys these last couple classes, as long as we get away from two really crummy classes. But I think that's the biggest thing is Wisconsin's doing a little bit better on the recruiting front these past couple years. They've still been recruiting some of these guys, but most of them are going to Ohio State, Michigan, and Michigan State. That's 15 of the last 30 four-stars or higher from the state of Ohio have gone to those places. And the biggest thing, though, is Wisconsin, most of their staff doesn't have connections in Ohio anymore because of Lamont Paris being gone.
Yeah, and you see it in basketball and in football. If you don't have connections to that area, sometimes it's hard to make inroads as you try to, you know, get after some of these players. There's, of course, you know, state ties, regional ties. If you don't have those, that kind of makes it harder for some to go against, you know, places that do, you know, like in Ohio State, Michigan's of the world. So definitely an interesting question that when you look at, you know, the players that have come from the state of Ohio in the past, you know, like you mentioned, given significant minutes and time to Wisconsin, but maybe it's just more of, like you said, a regional focus and them having better success. I mean, in football, it's a little different because you have so many more roster spots. In basketball, you've only got a certain number of guys that you can go after and get. And if you're doing something right in certain areas, like you mentioned with Krabbenhoff, west of Wisconsin, maybe you just don't have there's not as much of a focus in going out and getting there. And of course, there's some players that'll come from that state and that region that will be, you know, high significant guys. And if Wisconsin, feels that they can make a run at it, I'm sure they would, but I don't think it's as pressing, as an issue when you're having such success in some of those other areas.
Yeah, for sure. And they're going to have Ilver next year, so they'll still have one Ohio, I mean, quote unquote native because he's really from Estonia. But, another thing, I was just doing some deep diving with some of this stuff. And, you look at it and there's a lot of different schools that pull into Ohio for the top kids. You've got Kansas, you've got Duke, you've got Cincinnati, obviously working in state, but you've got Louisville, you've got NC State, you've got Indiana, West Virginia, Alabama, North Carolina, Texas, Pittsburgh, Notre Dame, Northwestern. That rounds out all the top four-star and five-star prospects, and there's been kind of a decrease in the talent in Ohio playing basketball as well, which I think kind of plays into this a bit. So I think there's a lot at play in there, but just basketball recruiting is so different than football, where you can use proximity to kind of help you out a little bit more in there. A lot of times basketball just has so many other layers going on it with shoe deals and everything that's happening, and there's not as much of a pull to necessarily need to stay close to home. But I will tell you this, Ohio State is crushing it in the state of Ohio and basically getting the main guys they want. They're bringing them in unless they're going to Kansas, Duke, or North Carolina.
Yeah, that's a lot of hurdles to overcome if you're someone trying to come into that state, kind of a mixed bag of teams that will get into the state of Ohio. Certainly, like I said, an interesting question, something to, of course, keep an eye on as Wisconsin kind of moves forward. The lifebloods and the changes of recruiting are always so interesting to look at when you get kind of in-depth, like you mentioned that way. All right, guys, that wraps up another episode of the podcast. It was good to be back with you, and we'll be back, of course, later in the week. We'll get into kind of some of those make-or-break situations that we mentioned. I think that should be a nice, fun exercise to keep that second week of spring football going that way. So make sure to tune in. Thank you guys for listening today. As always, on Wisconsin. Thank you.